He decided to go ahead and preach this morning. I told him on the way back, I said, this is really neat because what God gave me for tonight is just, it fits really well with what he was preaching about this morning. And I thought, well, let's see how the worship goes. And first song, All Things Are Possible. And ended up with How Great Is Our God. I want to ask you to think about something. And if you got any religious strongholds in there, they're going to probably jump a little bit at this when I say this. We were singing How Great Is Our God and worshiping Him and thinking about how all the world will see, every knee is going to bow one day, how great is our God. And I want you to just think about that for a minute and then put this thought in there with it. I was created in His image. I was created in His image. In fact, I want you to say it with me because it's the truth. I was created in His image. How great is our God? How wonderful, how mighty, how majestic. I was created in His image. I bear the divine stamp of God upon this clay. I'm not just some being that evolved from goo. I was created by God to bear His image and His likeness. People say, oh yeah, but sin broke that. Yeah, well, Jesus restored it. Jesus restored it. We're not down in a pit somewhere. You see this A to Z line. Before the foundation of the world, God intended that there would be a family of people who would bear the image of His Son. So He created. He created this world. He created mankind. And then mankind sinned and dropped into this pit. And Jesus came along and the cross bridged it, brought us back up, but it doesn't just bring us up right below the edge of the pit. It brings us back up and sets us back on that path again, that we are to be a family of people who bear His image, who are made in the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that what God has given me tonight could be either the scariest sermon you've heard or the most liberating sermon you've heard. I really believe that. One of the things I realized after spending most of my life hearing people say, what we're really afraid of is the fear of failure. That's why people don't do things, is for fear of failure. After hearing that all my life and kind of being programmed that way, heard somebody bring a different light on it, and it scared me. They said, people are probably more afraid of succeeding than they are a failure. And people hold back because of what if. What if this thing gets wilder than I ever imagined? What if I get on and it's not just a little teeny roller coaster, but one of those big monster things? What if? And people hold back sometimes in their heart because they know. They know, you know deep down when you hear the cry of the eagle that you were called to soar up there. You were called to be there. You were called to soar high in the heavenlies as a child of God who bears the divine stamp and image of your Creator. You were called to bear that. And God doesn't make junk, but God also isn't junk. God is awesome. He is great. He's wonderful. All those things we just sang about and ascribed to Him. He said, let us make man in our image. So, what I want to preach about tonight or teach about tonight is opportunities. Opportunities. We read about it starting in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter, in the very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now remember, God had this plan from before the foundation of the world that there would be a family of people who would be like His Son. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." Beautiful sunlight. Like streaming through that back window right now. "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place." And the dry ground appeared. On and on and on. God put things in order. See, God had all these raw materials there. He created the heavens and the earth. And there was just a bunch of raw materials. And then God said, "I'm going to bring order to this nothingness. I'm going to bring order to this chaos. I'm going to start putting things in place," because God is, first of all, the one who creates opportunities. He is the creator of opportunities. He knew that if He is going to have a family of people who would be like His Son, we weren't going to live in a box. We were not going to exist in some tiny little cubicle and bear the image that He wanted for us. His Son's glorious, remember? His glory fills the heavens and the earth. And He says, "I want to make man in My image." So He had to create something that was vast. He had to create something that was exquisite. He had to create something that was detailed. He had to create something that was deep and high and wide, and that would just boggle the mind to even conceive of all the intricate details. He had to put all that together just to even have a place to put the man and the woman that He was going to create. So everything that God did was done in an order and a manner consistent with logic and wisdom. And this is not a lesson on creation or creationism. But if you go through and study it and read the great creation scientist, you just see just the beauty of how God put it step by step, piece by piece, order by order. It was consistent with logic and wisdom. And the book of Proverbs chapter 8 talks about how God brought wisdom in from the beginning to be there with Him as He ordered things. And wisdom rejoiced when God put things in order. The goal that God had was to create an open-ended world of opportunities. God was creating an open-ended world of opportunities that He would then take the man and woman He was going to create and cut them loose. Raw materials were created and hidden in abundance. I mean, you think about the things that people are exploring even to this day. I mean, church members going off to look for oil. Why? Because it's there. Who put it there? God put it there. In the book of Job, I've been reading, just going through and reading just some of the words of Job recently, and just reading about Job was saying, mankind, you know, man tunnels under the earth in places far away where eagle has never been and lion is never going to go. Mankind digs through all these deep, dark crevices searching for ore and precious metals and brings it out into the light. Well, God put it there. The tops of the mountains, the depths of the oceans. I mean, things, places where there, I heard several years ago that there was a swamp in Africa the size of the state of Texas that had never truly been charted, never really been mapped out. I'm sitting there thinking, what's there? You know, when I heard that, I was like, I want to go. Just as long as I know it'll be safe. I don't know what's there either, but boy, wouldn't it be neat to see what God put in that place. Because God created this whole open-ended world of opportunities with all these raw materials. And what He was doing was He was saying to you, here's you, a blank check. Now, I've been in those services where people have talked about discipleship and lordship. And I've even preached some of those sermons myself talking about discipleship and lordship. And the bottom line to discipleship and lordship is that He's the Lord and you're the disciple. You never get those two confused or you get in trouble. And the bottom line to discipleship is you take a blank sheet of paper and you write your name down at the bottom and you let God fill in the details. That's the bottom line to discipleship and lordship. But I'm here to tell you today that God has given you a blank check. God has given you a blank check and said, here, I bless you. What did He say to Adam and Eve? He said, well, the first day, what I want you to do is I want you to go till this piece of land right here. And precisely at 11:30, we're going to be having a tea break. And then right, you know, at 11:45, we're going to get back on the job. And I want you to weed that particular spot. Well, there weren't even weeds, really. But is that what God said in the beginning? Let me read you what He said. Verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they'll be yours for food. God saw that He had made and it was very good. God didn't give them a detailed sheet of everything they were supposed to do for every second of the day. God said, Anna Stewart, here's a blank check. Here's a blank check made out to you. What's the amount you're going to fill in? I heard a story one time about a man who had done something for a king. And the king said, he was a wise man. He had really helped the king out. And the king said, signet ring into the wax. Take it to the royal treasure. Ask for whatever you want. You've helped me a lot. The man went and he asked for an extremely large amount of money. And the royal treasure, being like most accountants, came back and said, do you know what this guy's wanting to do? I mean, he's asked for this amount of money right here, and I just had to check with you. I couldn't just give it. I mean, I know it's a blank check with your signature on it, but I had to make sure it was a good, you know, I don't want to get killed giving this guy this much money, is what it boiled down to, probably. And the king said, of course, give it to him. He has honored me by asking for so large an amount. Well, most of us would be sitting there thinking, what a chance, sir. Hey, this guy's here trying to break my bank. But the king said, he's honored me because he's asked for something so large. Of course I have the treasury to fulfill his request. Of course I can do it. And how many people are ever going to come up to the king and say, I really want that large of an amount? He said, give it to him. Don't hold back. God says, I'm giving you a blank check. What are you going to fill in? Now that goes against everything that we've probably believed and heard all of our life. And all of my life I kept hearing, God has a perfect will for your life. And you've got to find it. Nobody could ever tell me how to find it. You'd go to the bookstore, how to find God's will for your life. Go to conferences, listen to sermons. What is God's will for my life? And you know what? Most people in churches spend all their lives wandering around like the dog after his tail saying, if I just knew what it was, I'd do it. I mean, there's some sincere believers out there that say, if I just knew what it was that God wanted me to do, I'd do it with all my heart, but I don't know. I've asked, and I never hear anything. Do you know why most people never hear anything? And then God speaks to some people. God says, you go to this place. And if He says, you go to this place, then guess what? Discipleship, lordship. He's the Lord, you're the disciple, do what He says. He doesn't do that with everybody. In fact, most people that I meet, believers that I meet, don't have that kind of experience. Am I preaching where you are, or just where I am? Most people don't have that kind of experience. Most people look back over 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe even 90 years of life and say, how did my life happen like this? I never planned it this way. I wouldn't have planned it this way. I wish I could do a lot of things different. And they start reminiscing. Well, guess what? Most people never hear that voice telling them what to do because God has already said, do. Go. Act. Create. I've given you the raw materials. I've given you this whole wide world of opportunities. Do something with it. God's sitting up there saying, if you want to bear the image of my son, do you think I'm telling my son every tiny little detail? Do you think that God the Father was telling, you know, let's just put it brass level here. Do you think God the Father was telling the son when to change his clothes when he was on this earth? Do you think he was telling him when to eat his food? And Jesus was sitting there waiting there. Oh, that's a precise moment. Started digging in. No, there's just things that you do because you're living here on earth and you're a human being and it's just part of life. And God has said, look, I've given you this whole expanse. Take the opportunities. Take them. Take them and run with them. There is one verse in the New Testament that's very clear about the will of God. It's in 1 Thessalonians. It says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. All right, you work on that. That's the will of God for your life, your sanctification. Set yourself apart for God. Make sure your motives are pure. Make sure your heart is turned over to Him. Make sure your will is submitted. And then go out there with passion and live. Go out there with passion and follow your dreams. Go out there and say, God, if I'm headed the wrong direction, I trust you're God enough to stop me. God, if I'm on a wrong path, I believe you are sovereign enough to get me back on the wrong path. But I'm going to go out there with all the passion I can muster. I'm going to go out there with everything that's within me. And I'm going to live this life so that at the end of my days, I can look back and say, hey, I gathered a few talents for you, God. You gave me an opportunity, and I took it. Do you know what Jesus said about the servant who didn't take the opportunity? Because that's what they were given. The master came along and said, I'm giving you an opportunity. And I'm giving you an opportunity. And I'm giving you an opportunity. And he went through each of his servants and said, I'm giving you an opportunity. Well, we always say, well, he's giving them talents. Well, what were the talents? They were an opportunity. It was an opportunity to show what they'd learned. It was an opportunity to show their character. It was an opportunity to show how much they really understood their master. And several of the servants went out and said, This is my chance. Hey, I've never had this before and I may never have it again. I'm going to try it. I've never had 10 talents given to me. That's a lot of money. Or 5 talents given to me, 2 talents, whatever. I've never had this much money in my hand. I'm going to try. I've always wanted to do what? Well, one of them said, I always wanted to sell camels, maybe. One of them said, I always wanted to trade in wheat. Another one said, I always wanted to know if I got up with this boat merchant over here and bought some of his goods, if I could sell them at a profit over here. And their mind went crazy with all the opportunities. And one of them said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I might lose it. And that'd be a bad thing with my boss, because he doesn't like losing. He always comes out pretty good on the stick. And I might lose it. So, toss a coin 50-50. If I go out, I might lose all of it. If I keep it, I won't lose any of it. And at least when he comes back, I can say, here you go. And I can give him even Stephen what he gave me. Won't he be happy? He hasn't lost a thing. God is not into losing things, certainly. But more than not into losing things, he is very much into gaining things. Because when the master came back, the master said, okay, boys, tally accounts. I gave you this many. How many have you got now? You gave me 5 talents. I've gained 5 more. How did you do it? I invested in wheat And I knew, I could tell that there was starting to be a little bit of a drought over in this part of the region. And I thought, you know, if I buy up as much wheat as I can sell it at a profit a little bit later on. We don't know how long the master was gone. Could have been a year, could have been 5 years, could have been 10 years, could have been 20 years. We're not told that. All we know is they had an opportunity. And they took it, one after another, and they came and said, you gave me two, I've got two more. You gave me three, I've got three more. They went down through the whole list of servants, got to him, he said, how many have you got? I gave you one, what have you got? One. Pardon? One. See, tell me about this one. Now, everybody else has been getting something, tell me about the one. Well, I knew you're a hard man. Hard man, okay? You gather where you haven't sowed, like any good businessman. You're always looking for an opportunity to reap somebody else's profit, somebody else's labor. They prepared the way for you. Go in and say, there it is, boys. Let's buy that field while it's ripe to harvest. I knew you're a hard man gathering where you had not sowed and reaping where you hadn't strown any seed. And I said, I'm going to dig a hole and put it in there, and at least I'll be able to give you back what belongs to yours. You wicked, miserable servant. Wicked servant. Wretched servant. Why? Because you knew me, he said. You knew me. You knew that I was into profit and gaining and producing. The servant wasn't wicked simply because he hid the talent. The servant was wicked because he didn't understand the opportunity. You got to hearken back to the other words that the master spoke to his servants. He said, you have gained five over the five I gave you. Well done, good, faithful servant. Enter. I'm going to make you responsible over more. Enter into the joys of your master. Let's see. You just gave me a lot of responsibility. You went off for an unknown amount of time. You come back. You get from me the profit that I've gained. And then you tell me you're going to give me more responsibility? Yes, because you've proven yourself. You have taken an opportunity and run with it. And so I'm going to expand your world of opportunities. And that is where joy comes, because that is the image of God. Are you hearing me? That's where joy comes, because that's where the image of God bursts forth from your life. That's where you say, I'm not just going to sit here and put widgets together all the rest of my life while all this world happens around me. And there's nothing wrong with putting widgets together if that's what you want to do. But it's saying, whoa, wait a minute. I was created for more. I was created to see opportunities, take opportunities, and run with opportunities. And you know what? Everybody in this room has at least one opportunity in front of you. I can say that without hesitation. Everybody here has at least one opportunity in front of you. What is it? I don't know. That's your job. You find that out. But everybody here has got at least one opportunity. And you know what? If you're faithful and following it, if you take it, if you seize it and run with it, then God says, good job. Good job. I'm going to bless you by giving you two opportunities. Okay. Which one do I take? Well, I'll tell you, Paul Dudley did that for us this morning. I was getting some money out to give the children to bring to church. And so he's standing there kind of toddling around, you know, not knowing what's going on in this world of opportunities around him. So I thought I'd give him an opportunity. I had a 2p coin that was bright and shiny. And I held it out in my hand, and a little 5p that's tiny and small. And I said, Paul Dudley, which one of these would you like? The bright, shiny 2p or the little 5p? And here's what he did. Hallelujah! He understands! Take both opportunities. And guess what happens? Guess what happens? You run with them. And then God says, I'm going to give you four opportunities. Because guess what? The more you grow in seizing those opportunities, the more you take advantage of it, the more you move forward, you expand on the inside. You expand in the character of God. The divine image that God wants stamped in us starts to take hold, and we realize we were made to be more than some piddly little slave to somebody else's system. Somebody who just does nothing more than push a pen or push paper or push a widget or push whatever it is that life has told you you were made to be. I'm here to tell you tonight, God made you in His image. God made you in His image. You bear a far greater realm of possibilities inside you than you can imagine. And if you just begin to think about it, it makes your mind hurt. If you think about it more, your spirit starts to giggle a little. And if you think about it a whole lot, you end up just laughing because you go, whoa! That's me! That's me! He's talking about me! He's not talking about some other guy over there. He's talking about me. Yeah, I'm talking about you. God created you. So, point one. No, just kidding. So most of our lives, we spend thinking that God wants to detail our every move. What God wants is to have sons and daughters who are inspired by His breath and who will act boldly in wisdom to use the opportunities given to them and who will create opportunities for others to grow and mature. I want to just try to bring that thought together before we move on. You do really have a blank check. This is hard for us to deal with. But Jesus said to His disciples, as you are going, make disciples of all nations. As you are going, make disciples of all nations. And most of us would be saying, where? Where? I'd like, you know, give me the itinerary. Just tell me, because we've been programmed to say somebody else needs to do my thinking for me. I can't do my own thinking for myself because, well, why not? Why not? The person up there trying to do your thinking for you, what makes them any better? Huh? You ever stop to ask yourself that? What makes them any better? Jesus said, as you're going. Where, Lord? Wherever you're going. But where? Where do you want to go? God uses our desires, our passions, all kind of neat little things that shape us and influence us and make us who we are. And I was just thinking about that. You said it again this morning. Your choices determine who you are. You're a collection of a lifetime of choices, even if you're 1 year old. You're a collection of a lifetime of choices. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to get hemmed in to what everybody else tells you those choices have to be. God has given you a world of them. One of the scariest things that God, well, two of the scariest things that God has ever said to me. One time I was with a group of people in college, and we had been out on a ministry trip, and we were coming back, and there was a particular situation going on in my life, and I was trying to explain myself to God. God, I really didn't mean that, and I wasn't, you know, people might have perceived me that way, God, but that's wrong. I was just really trying to let Him know that I wasn't how everybody else might have been thinking I was. And the Holy Spirit came to me in that moment and said, Craig, I trust you. And I melted. I was just, whoa, you sure about it? And God said, you know, I've been working in your life. I know you love me. I trust you. Boy, that's scary. It's freeing too, isn't it? It's that double-edged sword of the Word of God that comes in. You're standing on a knife edge, looking over a precipice, and going, "Woohoo! This is thrilling!" Like going out on the cliffs. And then, several years ago, I don't know how many years ago it is, I didn't write it down when it occurred, because it hit me so hard. God asked me sometime in the past several years, "Craig, what is it that you want to do?" And do you know what I said? "I don't know." Dina knows. She remembers me telling her that. She was like, "Wow, God said that to you?" I was like, "Yeah, God said that to me." A year went by. And you know what was going over in the back of my mind? What do I really want to do? What is it that if God came to you tonight and said, "What do you want to do? What is that thing?" "Well, God, what I'd really like to do is make some money and get me a house and settle down and get a nice telly so I can watch it." And is that it? Is that it? I'm not knocking anybody's American dream that got transplanted to Scotland. Come on, these things are universal. The guy in the jungle wants a little bit better grade donkey, you know. I mean, it's all relative. We all want about the same things. A little better mode of transportation, a little bit better place to sleep, a little bit better food to eat. And then we'll be happy. No, you won't, because you were made for greatness. You won't be happy until you are great. Now, pardon me while I step on some religious toes for a minute, but you won't be happy until you are great, because God called you to be great. God called you, remember, to bear the image of God. He called you to be like His Son. Which Son? Oh, the one that He happened to create the worlds with. The Son by whom all things were created, and by whom all things subsist and consist. The Son that is glorious. The Son that, last Sunday night, Donnie was preaching, glorify your Son, who is calling out to the Father to glorify Him because He had kept the will of the Father. Guess what? When you do His will, when you live that sanctified life He talks about in Thessalonians, you can live boldly. You can go places you never dreamed. You can do things you never thought possible. You can see dreams in your heart fulfilled. How do you know that? Because that's God's will for your life. That's God's will. What exactly? That! Yeah, but give me the details. You write them out. You write them out with God. Write them out. Sit down. Right now, while you're here, or tonight, your first opportunity, get a big sheet of paper and just start writing down, these are all the things I'd like to see. These are all the things I'd like to do. These are all the places I'd like to go. These are the things I'd like to accomplish. And just start putting them out there and say, God, I'm trying. I'm trying, God. I know this is a pitiful list maybe, because it might say, I want a better job. I want to make a little better money. I want a little better food. I want a little better transportation. Wonderful. That's a start. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. I mean, the essence of Jesus Christ's divinity and glory is not a Mercedes-Benz. It's not. It's not living in the best house in Stornoway. It's not. That's not what it's about. Praise God for nice cars. Praise God for nice houses. Praise God for nice food. But that's not it. You were made to create. You were made to take opportunities. You were made to invent. You were made to expand inside in ways that it just makes you want to laugh. It just makes you want to laugh to think, God put that in me. Say it. God put that in me. Ecclesiastes says He has put eternity in their hearts. You have a big, huge, eternity-sized void in there. And we say, well, it's a God-sized hole and God's the only one who can fill it. Yeah, that's true when we're talking about salvation and all that. But what about after God fills it? You're not just going to sit there on a rock like the thinker saying, well, God just filled my big God-sized hole and now I'd never have to do a thing. No, God says, okay, I'm going to start giving you opportunities. Take them. Whew. I think we hit that stump enough. I don't know. The bottom line is opportunities abound, but you have to recognize an opportunity. About 3 years ago, I started praying a prayer. I pray it every now and then. For a while I was praying it maybe every day, but it just keeps coming up. God put it in my heart to pray. I said, God, I was walking down a street in Cleveland. Just a street, you know, buildings and fences and trash and just a street. And I said, God, millionaires walk down the street or drive down the street probably. They go down this same street and they see the same things I do, and yet they see them differently. And God put it in my heart to begin to pray, God, help me to see things differently. He's putting it in my heart to pray, God, help me to see opportunities. That's really what it boils down to. God, help me to see things differently. Just like we were talking about this morning. One person sees an avalanche on TV and says, what a disaster. Red Cross worker might say, I need to send aid. Another person says, those poor, pitiful people. Another person may say, man, I wonder if I can get some good pictures and post them on the internet. Or another person said, and everybody sees all these different things. Somebody else says, how about if they had this cool kind of block? You know, I never would have seen that. I wouldn't have seen that. And I've seen a lot of tragedy pictures in my lifetime, but I never would have seen that. You did. Well, guess what? Some of you drive across the moor, and you see thistles on the side of the road. And guess what I see? I think, man, if my goats were here, they would have a lot of stuff to eat. I find myself, after I became a beekeeper, I find myself driving by the side of the road thinking, man, if I had a hive here, you know, if I had goats over there, if I had, you know, and you start thinking based on the things you're doing, based on the opportunities you have already taken, you begin to see new opportunities that you never saw before. There's a world of opportunities that are all around you. Take that very small particle that everybody has in their car and in their homes called sand. Gets on your shoes, you track it in, housewives hate it, kids love it, and guess what? Glass blowers look at that sand differently. You know, and for years and years and years, people thought sand, well, you can make concrete and block out of it, and there's cool things you can do with sand, and what else can we do with sand? Well, we can make glass out of it. What else can we do with sand? Well, we can use it to sandblast things with. We can carve stuff out with it if we use it under extreme pressure. Well, that's a new use of sand. Then somebody started to find out about silicon. Computers? Data? Information age? Internet? The whole silicon. Guess where it came from? Same place. How long has it been there? Since God created this world of opportunities. It's been there. All it took was somebody who said, I wonder if we could do that. So, in order to recognize an opportunity, it requires insight, which comes at the price of disciplined study. Do you know that? If you want to see an opportunity, one of the ways that you can see opportunities is by studying and disciplining yourself and reading and learning and gathering information so that when the opportunity comes along, you go, aha, that's an opportunity. That's what stock market people do. They study so they can see an opportunity in the stock market. That's what people do who trade all kinds of goods. That's the whole world of commerce is based off of studying and learning so that you can be ready when the opportunity comes. There was a professor of mine that was talking about spiritual. He was a Christian professor, and he said, I grew up in California, and he said, I used to be out there on my little, you know, rubber ducky type float. And he said, California, you know, these big, huge waves had come along. And he said, I'd see this wave coming along, and I'd go, whoop, whoop, up a little bit and then down a little bit. And he said, but these other guys with these boards are riding the thing in. He said, the difference was they saw it coming and they prepared for it. Well, how are you going to prepare for a wave? Well, you get out there and you start learning how to surf and you study it and you get out there and you practice it over and over and over until you get good at it. So insight comes at the price of disciplined study. George Washington Carver, I don't know if you've ever heard of him over here as much as we might, but he was the guy that invented peanuts, so to speak. He said, one of his quotes that I love is he said, God, show me the depths of your mysteries. And God said, George, the depths of my mysteries are too great for you. He said, okay, God, show me the mysteries of the peanut. He said, that's more your size. He was a black man who was educated and spent his entire life studying peanuts. And found all kind of things that you could do with peanuts. He found things that you could do with peanuts that nobody even guessed, thought of, or even imagined. But he studied and studied and studied, and God gave him more and more and more opportunities because of that. You can see an opportunity by divine utterance or revelation. In the book of Acts, they said that there was a time when a prophet named Agabus stood up and signified through the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine that was coming on the earth. This happened during the reign of, and they list the time when it actually occurred. How do you know when there's going to be a famine? Well, you might ask the weather forecaster, but they don't always get it right. But when the Holy Spirit says something is about to occur in this nation, you can go to the bank on it. And when the Holy Spirit says there's going to be a famine, He's just letting you know what is going to happen. And so they responded to the opportunity that God had given them by gathering money to send to the poor saints that are in Jerusalem to provide relief for them. Do you know what? God can do that with you. There will be times when you are just struggling along and you're thinking, I'm not disciplined like he was talking about. I haven't studied. And I'm just finding myself 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever years of age. And I feel like I missed all my opportunities that have ever come. And I just feel like I've wasted a world of them. And God says, zing. And the Holy Spirit enlightens something to you. And it stands out and you never thought about it before. The Holy Spirit is doing that as a grace gift to you. Because God loves you. Because He's inviting you in to His kingdom. He's inviting you in to His image. He's inviting you in to who He wants you to become. And He gives it to you graciously. Because yes, there's part of this that comes from good old hard work. Because that's what God said. 6 days shalt thou work. And somebody said that's the most broken commandment in all the Bible. 6 days shalt thou work. God didn't create work after the curse. Work was part of who we were created to be. Remember that. Work is who God created us to be and do. It's just part of it. The sweat and all that kind of stuff was part of the curse. The frustration of it. The cranky bosses and all, you know. But God will give you those times. He'll make something stand out to you. He'll give you something right in your face that even you Even you would look at it and say, I wonder if God's trying to tell me something. He is. And do you know what you're supposed to do with it? Snatch it. Grab it. Hang on to it. Don't let go. Ride it. And say, let's see where this thing is going. It's not all about money. It's not all about food. It's about all kinds of opportunities. Another thing about seeing opportunities, you have to be looking. Nothing on tonight. Over and over and over and over. Meanwhile, outside your door. Meanwhile, right across the way. Meanwhile, right down at your feet. Or even while you're clicking that telly and you see the avalanche. God's... In the book of Proverbs, it's like wisdom is so frustrated. Wisdom says, I'm crying out. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm at the tops of the mountains looking down on the paths. I'm at the junctures where the paths meet. I'm at the entrance to the city gates. Wisdom is crying out and uttering her voice saying, how long will you love your simplicity? Don't you want something more than just a boring, same old life? Wisdom is crying out saying, how long will you love that kind of life? Why won't you take my kind of life and find the intricate details that your God has created in this wonderful, wide, vast universe? When are you going to get a passion in you to hunger for something more? When are you going to get stirred to do something more than just the same old routine, which is rut if you take the other letters out? When are you going to do that? Wisdom is screaming, 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 crying out, saying, why? Why? And you have to be looking. Look for opportunities. Once you see an opportunity, you have to make a conscious choice to act. You have to make a choice to act. And this is one of the things that's been so hard for me. I'm preaching out of some of my own experience here. You have to make a choice. There have been times when God has confronted me with opportunities and I've said, let me think about it some more. Somebody said something last year that really just it hit home a lot harder than I wanted it to. You know, you want to get wisdom from people, but you don't want them to affect you too much, you know. And this person said, once you have the basic facts, trying to gather more facts is only going to waste time. Once you have the basic information in front of you that you need to make a decision, then make it. Ooh. I didn't like that. Man, I didn't like that. We had an opportunity to, we were looking to get a bigger place to stay because our family was growing. And we wanted to have a place where we could have some animals. Couldn't really have them so much where we were living. That was a goal in our hearts. And Dina got so frustrated with me, I'm sure, because we drove all over the county. She'd say, how about this place? Nice and flat. I'd like a hill on it. Okay. So we went to another place. How about this place? Too many hills. I'd like some flat parts to it. On and on. 2 or 3 years we were looking. She said, finally, like, what is it that you're looking for? I was like, well, I'd like something that has some flat area and then some hills. I'd like some wood. I'd like some cleared spot. I'd like some fencing area. I'd like some water on it. I'd like to be dry. And oh yeah, I'd like a seaside view. While And at that point, she did throw her hands up. Yes. And yeah, I was being a little cheeky, but at the same time, I was expressing a lot of different desires that I had. But you know what? I put it out there verbally, and we came across a piece of property. It was actually some people that we knew, but we'd never really been friends with them, knew about the property. And We went and looked at it. Don't know. Not sure about it. And, you know, all these things start filtering through my mind. Ching, 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 ching. Has this, 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 this. Doesn't have that. And we were just kind of hemming and hawing, or I was hemming and hawing, going back and forth on it several months. And I went to church one day, determined to get the answer from God to tell me what to do in detail. I read my Bible that morning. Nothing special stood out. I went to church, praise and worship. Nothing. Here comes a sermon. Didn't have a thing to do with anything. They don't often have altar calls in particular at the church I attend. You know, they'll ask people to come up sometimes to pray, and then sometimes, depending on what the sermon might be, they might not. Well, this sermon, I made it this Sunday, I made sure I went down and prayed because somebody was going to come and give me a divine word about what I was supposed to do. I was sure of it. Oh, Lord, save him, you know. People come up and pray those generic prayers and don't have a clue what you're praying about. Don't even bother to ask you. Heal him, take him on, whatever it is that he's... Nothing. I was quite disconcerted with that. After all, I went expecting to receive my answer from God. And wives, you got to love them. They make you so mad sometimes. I said, you know, I was expecting to hear from God. I didn't hear a thing. She said, well, maybe it's because God knew you'd make the right decision. Ooh. That hurt. You know, you're just like, And I'd prayed about it, and I was like, God, you know, it has most everything I'm looking for in peace property that we've really been wanting, except it doesn't have this. One of the things that was kind of big on my list, it didn't have. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he said, Craig, out of this whole county, there's a handful of properties that meet what you're looking for. Out of those handful of properties, there's only a small percentage of those at any given time they're going to be available for sale. Are you willing to wait until the exact one comes open for sale, or is this going to meet your needs good enough to satisfy you? That's good enough. You know, it was really what I was looking for. And God knew I would make the right decision, and it didn't have to be a divine word from God. And we cop out so much, don't we? I'm not the only one. Come on. Amen or ouch, one of the two. I'm not the only one that's done that. Probably several of us here. Oh, if God would only give me a word, I'd know what to do. You know what to do. It's burning in your heart. You got a passion to do it. And you know in your heart that if God came up to you and gave you that blank check, that's what you'd write in it. Do it. Do it! That's all I'm saying. Do it. God is with you. Once you see an opportunity, you have to make a conscious choice to act. If you stay in indecision, you are making a choice to forego the opportunity. Indecision is a vote no. Just remember that. You just voted no every second you waited past the time that you needed to actually make a clear decision on it. Now, I believe in gathering all the facts, and I'm a good one for it. But there comes a time when you've done all the fact gathering that you need to gather, and anything else is procrastinating, and you're just hoping that either somebody else seizes the opportunity so you can say, oh, it must not have been God's will, or someone comes along and speaks that divine word to you that says, brother, God showed me in a dream. He's given you this opportunity with these many details right here and spells it out for you and lays it out in black and white, makes it pure and simple and says you are to do it or you're not to do it. You know, if I just really knew where to invest this talent and I wasn't a flip of a coin, then I'd invest it there. And then the master would have a little bit more when he comes back if I just knew. And the master says, what's in your heart? Here's the opportunity. Do something with it. And that's the essence of that story in the gospel, is Jesus has said to every one of us here, every single one of us, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, I don't care if you feel like life has beaten you up and left you out by the side of the road, I don't care. It doesn't matter. That's the way Moses felt. Guess what? He was 80 and God said, let's get rolling. It's time. And God gave him a direct word. He didn't want it either. It's like the people that get the direct words are, oh, thank you, but no thank you. Jonah, direct word. Go to Nineveh, preach my word. No thank you. If you're waiting for a direct word, it might be one you're not looking for, friend. So you better start taking the opportunities God has given you now. Opportunities always have a window of time in which they exist. Even salvation. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Someday people are going to breathe their last. And guess what? It is appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Salvation has a window of opportunity. My spirit shall not always strive with man, God said. Every opportunity God puts your way has a window. It may be a big window. It may be a small window. It may be a second. You may have an opportunity that is a second. And then it's gone. Literally gone. And you look back the rest of your life and wonder, what if I had? You don't know. All you can do is look to the next opportunity and say, let me be faithful. Delay means loss. Delay means loss. Every moment of delay, you're losing something. Something. Don't delay. Use biblical principles to inform your choice. God's given you a whole word full, whole Bible full of wisdom, whole Bible full of principles, whole Bible full of things to say, this will guide you in your life. These are things to help make sure you're on the right path as you go. That you're doing it my way and that you're hearkening to my spirit and that you're actually bringing glory to me in the way you do things. Use biblical principles to inform your choice. That's really cool because I heard one time about, I think it was during World War II, that they were trying to figure out a way to get munitions shipped across the waters and they were very volatile and they were losing ships. And there was a person, I don't know if it was a Jew or a Christian, but one, it was a scientist of some kind who was a believer, and they read in the book of Job, have you entered the storehouses of the snow, which is in the song we were singing this morning, or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? And they thought, what if we packed them in ice? And they started packing the munitions in ice and found out it had stabilized them and they could ship them. How long was that there? What else does that verse mean? I don't know. But for him, at that time, it meant that. And God has all kind of principles in this word that if you get in and you start digging, and if you're a student of anything, be a student of the Word. If you are diligent about anything, be diligent about His Word. Because in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. God has revealed all kind of cool things, and He wants to reveal more things to you. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And He makes known to us what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes known to us cool, hidden things if we just study and if we ask and if we say, please, I'd like an opportunity. I'd like an opportunity. God says, okay, I'll give you one. Here's one. Your opportunity. Take it. Run with it. Enjoy it. Whee! That's a great ride. You like that? Okay, here's another one. It's a little bit longer. It's a little bit more thrilling. Woohoo! That's even better, God. You like that? And pretty soon, you're hooked. God's an opportunity pusher. He keeps pushing opportunities your way, and the more you take them, the more you get hooked until you realize this is who God created me to be. Oh, man, that's the essence of it. Man, that's what God's talking about when you stand before the the throne and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it's how many opportunities did you take? How many opportunities did you seize? With what degree of passion did you live your life? It's a blank check. And one other thing that God wants me to share tonight is that He wants us to create opportunities for others. I just wrote down some thoughts, just different thoughts that were coming to mind. How can I create opportunities for other people? Because that's part of being made in the image of God too, is creating opportunities for them. You can create an opportunity for somebody by stepping aside. I mentioned that last week in the sermon. Donnie had, for years and years and years, had to lead worship. And then he would step aside. You try it. I mean, that's an example right here in front of you that you've seen. I mean, people up here leading worship tonight. I mean, Sarah stepped aside tonight to give somebody else an opportunity to play the keyboard. You give people opportunities simply by stepping aside. Isn't that what the Bible says? Prefer others above yourselves. So that's one way you can create opportunities. Step aside for somebody else. Prefer them. Give them a chance. Here's another way to create opportunities. Spend some money or give. If you take your hard-earned money and you spend it on somebody else in a way that creates an opportunity for them, well, what? How? Maybe it's to help them to go to school. Maybe it's to send them to a life-changing conference where you know they'll hear something that will impact them for eternity. Maybe it's buying them something to get them started in business. Whatever it is, spend some money on other people. Give. Give. You're creating an opportunity for that person. Yeah, but what if? What if they dig a hole and bury it? You created an opportunity. They answer to God. You answer to God. But you'll be able to say, "God, I gave some money to that person, and well, I think they squandered it. And I gave some money to this person, I think they squandered it. But I invested in this brother or this sister or this child or this young person. I invested in them and they went on to be a missionary and they went and they won people for Christ, or they went on to become a successful business person who employed lots of people and raised a standard of living." Well, that sounds like a social gospel. Well, God wants you to improve everything you're around. If you leave it worse off then when you got it, is that the image of Christ? This world was better off when Jesus left. It was way better off when He left it than before He came here. Open your home. You create opportunities for people by opening your home. Well, what do you mean? Should I invite every person in off the street? Pray about it. Ask God for the opportunities. But it starts with just saying, "Hey, Pastor, you know, I'd like to have just some kind of meeting. I don't care what. Just here's an opportunity to use my home for something. Please do it. Please, let's do something here in my neighborhood, in my home, that lifts up Jesus Christ." What will come out of it? I don't know. Maybe another opportunity. Share your story. Did you know that just simply sitting down with somebody and telling them about the roads you've traveled can create opportunities for them? Because there's nothing that can help an insecure middle-aged person like hearing somebody else who was insecure and middle-aged and forged ahead. You thought I was going to say young person, didn't you? How many insecure middle-aged persons we got here? Raise your hand, be honest. Come on. Am I doing this right? Am I following God's will for my life? So share your story. Share your story. And by the way, I answered God a couple of years ago. I told Him one of the things that I wanted to do. It wasn't everything I wanted to do, but I thought of one thing that I really wanted to do. God said, "Not yet." And I couldn't figure that one out. It's like, "Not yet." But then last summer He said, "Okay, now you can." Which was very interesting. But His timing is perfect. We can't question that. Train an apprentice and share your wisdom. Train an apprentice. Share your wisdom. Everybody here knows how to do something. I don't care how minimalist you think it is. You know how to do something. Teach somebody else what you know. Teach them. Do you love to band birds? Find somebody else and teach them. Who's going to do it after you're gone? Well, hopefully a whole flock of people that you've taught. You know, hopefully a whole bunch of people. What a great youth outing. Where are we going for youth outing this time? We're going to have a barbecue on the beach? No, we're going to go band birds. I mean, it just might spark a passion in somebody that they never knew was there. You know, God gave me a gift a few years ago that I never would have asked for. I wouldn't have gone out and bought. And God put it, bang, right in my lap. Not literally, it would have hurt. And in using that gift God has given me, I've discovered parts of me I never knew existed. And God knew they were there. God knew they were there. God wanted to bring them out. Train an apprentice. Share your wisdom. Look for somebody. Isn't that what the Bible says? The elder women teach the younger women also what? How to guide the house, how to raise children, how to be a godly woman. Come on, how many of you women who have children were so insecure the whole time you're trying to think, am I doing this right? Am I raising my kids right? Am I changing my diapers right? Am I cooking right? Am I taking care of the house right? Come on. We all are in this together. We've all had the same feelings, all the same insecurities. We'll take some time and say, you know, I'd like to spend some time with you. There are plenty of young ladies in this church, and guess what they're full of? Questions, aren't you? Yeah, you won't say them out loud in a meeting, but you're full of them. Full of questions. And the men also. One of the best testimonies I heard was from a brother I went to school with who said that at his church, he said, yeah, the older men in the church got a bunch of us young guys together on Sunday afternoons, and sometimes we would just sit around the church and they'd take us off, you know, one old man with one guy and a couple older men over here with another guy, and they just talk to us about life. They talk to us about what it's like to be married. They talk to us what it's like to bear or to have kids, and they just talked to us and shared what it was like. And he said they poured their lives into us, and he said out of that group, like, you know, I think out of 20 something young guys, a lot of them became ministers of the gospel. They something stuck in them. And they wanted to go out and serve God and give it their all. That's great. Man, that's wonderful. How much does that cost? Well, I can't take advantage of any opportunities because I don't have any money. Yeah, opportunity is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something, but it doesn't have to be money. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you some energy. It's going to cost you some passion. But think about the impact. I know about 20 people he talked about that were in the ministry whose lives were changed because somebody said, you know, I think God has put in an opportunity here in front of us. I think if we look at Scripture, it tells us that this is something we should do, and we have some of these young guys here, so we've got an opportunity to do this. Let's actually do what the Bible says. And they did it. Give away your knowledge. You know, the world says charge for it dearly. Make people pay a price. If you want to create opportunities for other people, sometimes God is going to tell you to give away something valuable to you that He knows you really don't need, or you're never really going to profit from in the way that you think. You know, there's things that we just collect as we go through life. Some of it's knowledge, some of it's money, some of it's material possessions, and we hold on to them. We just kind of be the, you know, the big pack rats. And sometimes God says, offload some of that. You don't need all that. I blessed you with that so that you could pass it on to somebody else. Well, God, you gave me this insight into this economic idea, or you gave me this insight into the way people think, or you gave me this insight into the way a machine works, and that's for me, God, because you gave it to me. No. Don't apply things that simply. God might have given it to you to bless somebody else. Give away your knowledge. You ready for the last one? Start a business. Start a business. I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. All the things just start whirling through your mind because I just might succeed. Think about it like that. And then I'd have to pay taxes. Then I'd have all the headaches. And then I'd have all this. And you know what else you'd have? More opportunities. God would say, look how faithful they've been. They had an opportunity and they followed it. And I gave them another one. They followed that. And they followed it and they kept growing in their maturity. They kept growing in their knowledge. They kept growing in all those things. And then they launched out and started a business. And I'm going to bless them with even more opportunities. I'm going to make them go European wide. Ooh. And then they were faithful in that. And I'm going to start sending them around the globe. And then, wait a minute, God, me? I'm 60 years old. I'm 70 years old. I'm 15 years old. So, the internet revolution showed that millionaires could be made out of teenagers. Who would have thought that a cool little website that generated a million visitors could be sold for $100 million? And it happened over and over and over. And some of them were cool little websites that weren't worth $100 million. But some of them have generated well over that for the people that bought them. Some people stumble into opportunities like that. But you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. God's just looking for some people here tonight in this church, in this place, on this island, who will say, I'd like an opportunity. And that's where we're going to end this tonight. Because the one thing that I was told on the way over here by the Holy Spirit was, you pray for everybody that wants to be prayed for. Lay hands on them. Because the other thing God said to me on the way over here is, Craig, I want to unleash on this island, among people who are willing and open, I want to unleash a wave of creativity that will impact the world. Now, God spoke that to me. I know it was a word from God. I believe it. Do you believe it? That's up for you to decide. But I know it's a word from God, and I know that God said He wants to unleash a wave of creativity through people. He didn't say just that person or just that person. He said through people. People who are willing, who are open, who say, I'd like an opportunity. And I'll do it. I'll take it. I'll seize it. I might be scared to death the entire ride, and it might last 5 seconds. But I'll do it. Because He'll give you another one. He wants to unleash a wave of creativity that will impact the world. Even in the gospel, you got to see opportunities. Even in evangelism, you have to seize opportunities. Missionaries have to seize opportunities. Every part of our life, it boils down to that one thing. What are you going to do with the opportunities that are facing you? And I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to leave it on a heavy guilt type trip end. In the power of your name, all things are possible. You sang that earlier. Some people shouted, danced, hoorah. Put your money where your mouth is. God, I believe it. I really do believe it. All things are possible in the power of your name. My feet are planted on this rock. I'll not be shaken. My hope comes from you alone, my Lord and my salvation. I walk by faith. Woohoo, Lord, I walk by faith. Each step by faith. To live by faith, I put my trust in you. God says, reel them in, baby. Whoa. You didn't know what you were singing. But why do we have such joy? Because every step I take is a step of faith, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every prayer I make is a prayer of faith. And if, is it a big if or is it just a hypothetical if? If my God is for me, you know the rest of it. So, don't mob the front. But if you want an opportunity, if the Word of God is spoken into your heart tonight and you said, that's me, that's me, I was called by that message, that's me, God speaking to me, then come up, because I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah.